Today is January 6, 1989, and I'm here with Sarah Van Kuttner, her father. I think I thought he was a husband once, right? And her father. And your name's Krishna Hortney?
Krishnamurti.
Okay. And we're at her home in Jacksonville here, and we're going to be discussing some Indian traditions, specifically the Lakshmi Puja, and a little bit about Diwali and some of the other traditions there from India. Okay, first of all, I need some background information, and I'll need your full name first.
Full name? Yeah, my name is Saraswati.
Okay.
And you want to know the meaning too?
Sure.
It's the goddess of knowledge, education, and what else you want?
Okay, you were named for Saraswati?
Venkata Subban.
Okay.
And
Your parents chose that name for you?
No,
to be named after the goddess though?
Yes.
I see.
Yes, that's true.
Okay. Could I have the spelling of your name, too?
Spelling? My first name is Saraswati, which is S-A-R-A-S-W-A-T-H-I.
Okay.
The last name is Venkata Subban. V-E-N-K-A-T-A-S-U-B-B-A-N.
Okay. And I should get the spelling of your name, too.
K-R-I-S-H-N-A-M-U-R-T-H-Y.
Okay. Is that two words?
One word.
You can even make it one word. Because Murti is normally, you can say, a prefix we give to most of the gods. Krishnamurti, Ram Murti, like the Srinivas Murti, like that.
Oh, I see.
Krishna again is the name of
Lord.
Manifestation of God, you know. This is Krishna.
Okay.
With part flute.
Okay. He's part of the Trinity, right?
See, one thing, Trinity is the main core, I can say. So all these Krishna, Rama, these are all deities, I mean, which you have different manifestations. You see, in Indian mythology, I mean, Indian, even so what you're saying is just like a demon, you see, some evil, and God killing that evil. So we've got the God comes in incarnation, you know, we call them incarnations.
Okay.
So Krishna is one of the incarnations. Rama is the incarnation. Balaram, like that, there are both, like that, we believe that God comes, manifests himself to relieve mankind of evil and then devils and protect and then see that mankind prospers.
Yeah.
Or, on the other hand, justice and fair play, righteousness comes up, evil and then all bad things go down. That is the purpose of incarnation. Mankind becomes too bad and then the evil comes up, putting down virtue, and man is helpless. God comes in and says, look here, he supports the mankind, puts down the evil. That's all the main thing.
Is it real common to be named after the deities in India?
Yes, very common.
Yeah. Okay, and I was wondering also about last names. How are last names passed on in India? Would you get like your father's name? Or?
Yeah, that's before the marriage. We had the father's name.
Okay.
And after the marriage, naturally the husband decided.
Same as over here then?
Yes.
Okay. Also, I need your address too.
8939 Sandusky Avenue.
Okay.
One full one?
The zip code also I'll need.
Okay. 32216.
Okay. And I need your date of birth and your birthplace.
My date of birth? Okay. December 22nd, 1951.
Okay. And the place?
A place,
Kadapa.
It's a small town in the southern part of India. You want to know the state?
Sure.
The state I was born in is Andhra Pradesh.
Okay. I think I'm going to need the spelling for both of the name of the town and the state.
The place? The place C-U-D-D-A-P-A-H. That's the place I was born. And the state is Andhra Pradesh. A-N-D-R-A-P-R-A-D-E-S-H.
Okay. What languages are spoken in that particular state?
Telugu.
Okay.
It's spelled T-E-L-U-G-U.
Okay. Right. Is that the same state as that Madras is in?
No.
No, that's different?
This is
different. See, we were part of Madras state earlier.
Oh.
You know, Madras state comprised of the language Telugu, Tamil and Kannada.
Mm.
Subsequently, after independence, the Telugu people came out. We formed a new state.
Okay.
Based on language. So, Madras is now called Tamil Nadu.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes.
What other languages do you speak?
You can.
Sure. I speak English, I speak Hindi, I speak Tamil, and a little Kannada.
Okay. And how about you?
Just Telugu and English.
Okay.
And I know Hindi, it was the national language, and it was like a must in schools and all when you go to school. Mm. And so I was exposed to Hindi. I can understand very well, but I can't speak.
Okay. All right. I think I need your date of birth and birthplace too. I don't believe we got that yet.
See, my place of birth is again Kadapa, same place okay. where she's born. Then my date of birth is 1st June 1924.
Okay. All right. And when did you come to the U.S.?
I came in 1974, okay. in October 1974.
Did you settle here in Jacksonville?
No, we were in Atlanta. My husband went to school in Lawrence, Kansas. That's where he was going to school and did his PhD.
Oh, I see.
Then we came to Atlanta, Georgia. We were there for about 3 years, 2.5 years. So then we went to Texas. There in College Station, Texas, at A&M University. My husband was working there. Hmm. From there, we came to Gainesville, Florida. We were there for about 2 years. From Gainesville, then we came to Jackson.
Okay. And why did you decide to come over?
To States? Well, I got married. So I got to be with my husband.
That's what I thought. I was hoping there'd be another story behind that, but no, that's what I found with a lot of the Indian women, of course, is that they marry and come over. Yeah.
Yes, some of them, they can come for further education, like most of them professionals. They go to school, like they come here to do their PhDs or, you know, things like that. So a lot of women are coming now.
Oh, uh-huh.
And, excuse me just for a second.
Okay, we're back and running after a phone conversation there. We were talking a little bit about women immigrating from India, and you mentioned there's more professional women coming across now.
Yeah, lately they're coming.
Yeah.
You know, some of them, most of us, like, you know, we marry to some professionals here, so we come here. Yeah.
That's kind of the main way that is here in Jacksonville, in the Indian community. Yeah. Okay. What does your husband do, by the way?
He is a professor at the University of North Florida.
Oh, okay.
He teaches chemistry there.
Okay. All right. And your own occupation?
Just right now, housewife.
Okay.
I plan to go to school, you know, and get some good qualification and become a professional, but I don't know I'm going to do it.
Yeah. You've got quite a few kids to take care of too here, don't you?
Yeah, I have two kids, yeah.
Okay. I was here back in October, it was, right? With the...
Yes, August, I think.
August. Oh, it was August?
Yes.
Okay.
October.
Yeah. Okay, Diwali was in October, right?
Yes.
Okay, there
right.
we are. I was here in August then for the celebration of Lakshmi Puja.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I was wondering if you could give me a little bit of a description of it. When is that typically held?
It normally falls in August. August, right?
August, you see, we've got in Telugu calendar, month we go same 12 months, we call one Shravan, in month known as Shravan month.
No, all the festivals fall in that particular month.
See, mostly
month.
Festivals fall. So in that month, the second Friday is normally preferable. Any Friday they can do. There's nothing hard and fast about it. But we prefer the second Friday in Shravan, the month of Shravan.
See, we have two auspicious days during the week, like Tuesdays and Fridays. We do all women. We do, you know, puja to goddess Lakshmi or some goddess. You know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and that's throughout the whole year then?
Yes, normally there's some people in India, they do it, you know, not in elaborate way, but I did, you know.
Right.
They all just, you know, do some kind of puja and pray to that particular goddess that particular day.
Okay. And puja would translate as worship then?
Yes, prayer, worship.
Okay. All right. How do they choose that particular date in August there for that? Why is that date significant, I guess is what I mean.
See, Friday is supposed to be very auspicious for especially the goddesses.
Okay.
That is, we believe that they are the main source of power. The entire universe, you can say, the whole constellation, everything is only because of the kindness of the goddesses.
Okay.
We all live, everything is happy like that. Things are normal.
Okay.
So we attribute that to the goddesses, and Friday especially is the day we feel auspicious to worship goddesses.
Okay.
And that too, Friday in that month, Shravan Masam, we choose especially to worship Goddess Lakshmi, who is benefactor for prosperity. See, okay. It cannot be exact money, it may be prosperity, health, whatever undertaking we do or business.
Yes, when he says Sravan Masam, he said, Masa means month.
Month.
Okay.
So Sravan month. So we have each month different thing. This particular month during the year. So all the festivals fall one after another, starting with the Ganesha.
Oh, okay. And that's just during that one particular month is when they started?
It goes from month to month, the feast season, fall and winter, like this, so the season period, all the first festivals fall in it.
Okay, I see now. Okay. Could you tell me what goes on at that particular festival?
The Lakshmi Puja?
Right.
Well, the Lakshmi Puja mostly celebrated by, women folk, as I, mentioned it earlier, for their... wealth or for the husbands,
family members, even the relatives, friends,
all of them do puja.
And typically it's not celebrated by men at all, it's just for the women, right?
Well, both men and if the husband can't attend it, both of us supposed to be sitting. Uh-huh. And the husband and wife, they're both supposed to sit together and then do this particular puja. And both of us, praying for each other. Uh-huh. Mostly the women prays for the, prosper and everything, their health and everything for the husband.
Oh, I see.
So I hope and I think husband does the same thing for the wife too. So.
Okay.
In the book, it is after the puja, in every particular puja, at the end of the thing, there is a story that tells us what is this, you call it significance, who started it, why this puja is, who should perform it, what we should do, everything, it is in there. So we are supposed to read that particular story. So that, we'll all know the people who are performing the puja or other people who are an audience who are watching. Both of us, everybody is supposed to listen to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How long does a particular festival last? Does it go throughout the whole day or extend?
The main thing, the ceremony takes about an hour or hour and a half.
Oh.
But we call a lot of, we invite a lot of people, friends and relatives, and then we cook good food and then we feed them. And then some women, it depends upon the traditions and all, they can give the women. Coconut is a very holy kind of thing for us, coconuts. So we give coconuts and the fawn leaves which you see,
right,
that one, and flowers.
Uh-huh.
And if they can afford some saris, sari is our costume in India, so those things they give, something.
Oh, I see. Okay.
They all sing songs, and then those are the devotional songs. Mm-hmm. The children also wear, we all wear new clothes and everything. It's like a festival.
Okay. And typically you build an altar too in the homes for that one?
No, I don't
know. We make an altar.
Uh-huh.
See,
not every house.
There's no permanent altar.
No, I was wondering just for the particular festival.
Yes,
for this one,
yes,
you would build one.
Depending on the facilities available, as she did the other day, you made something and looked fine and colorful, and then depending on one's capacity and facilities available, time available, like that.
Okay, right. Could you tell me also what goes on during the ceremony, that 1 hour ceremony that you were mentioning as part of that?
Well, it starts off with all pujas. It starts off with praying the Ganesha. Ganesha is the one. What is the Ganesha significance?
This is Ganesh.
Okay.
We pray to him. He is supposed to see that there's no obstacle to any effort.
Yeah.
See, suppose we have any intention or any purpose or any proposal, some unknown obstacles may come in and then thwart our efforts.
Mm-hmm.
We pray to God, let my efforts go without any hindrance, any obstruction, any obstacle. So he's supposed to be the deity for it. Before we undertake any puja, or for that matter marriage or any function or any pilgrimage, we pray to that God so that everything goes free without any obstacles. So we invoke Lord Ganesh. We have got one more thing is stotrams, I got we got about 100 names, 100, we give him attributes, characters, like one, you say, you are a good man, you are a nice man, you are a benevolent man, you are a, like that we praise a man in 100 ways. Mm-hmm. So you want somebody to so be with you. Uh-huh. I don't. Good may be a comprehensive word.
You praise.
Say, a good man, benevolent man, kind man, you are a generous man, like that. We also pray to God. There are attributes, about 100, even 1,000 attributes also are there. Huh. So we have got a book wherein all the attributes are listed. We call it Stotram. Stotram is a prayer, okay, comprising of, say, 100 names like that, 108. So we first pray to this God. We make, see, one more thing is, suppose we don't get this actually idol. Our ancient said, we can make from your...
There is an yellow powder, which is also holy kind of, you must have seen it.
Turmeric, you know, turmeric powder.
Turmeric.
Mm-hmm. We make small piece. We feel
like
it is...
pyramid shape. We make it a pyramid shape, and then so we pray to him. If we don't have the picture or the idol of Ganesh, so we put him as a representative.
Okay.
So we put it there, and then we do pray, you know, prayer to him. Uh-huh. Then we go to the whatever the God we were supposed to pray that particular day. Then we switch to him, so that we have to please him before we please the other God.
See, our soul is flexible. Suppose you don't have a particular thing, we put some rice with some kumkum. And feel it is same. Suppose you want, somebody says you put some gold coin. I may not have gold coin, I may not have anything. So we just put that rice and say, oh God, treat this as my humble gold coin. This is all I can do. So that is supposed to be expressing one's gratitude or one's, humbleness before God.
That is actually, Lord Ganesha is, he got that wish from his father Shiva. He is a son of Shiva, firstborn of Shiva, Lord Shiva. So this is he got this wish from father. Is there's a story behind it. So the Lord Shiva is the one who says before anybody prays to the particular God, they have to go through Ganesha.
Okay.
So they cannot directly, you know, pray. So it's like it happened like people who buy new house and anything, they want to start off with something new or something. They pray to Ganesha so that it won't, you know, they won't have any obstacles or anything, you know, bad happen later on.
Oh, I see. Okay. So then the main ceremony consists of the prayers and that sort of thing.
Setting up the idols, the lights, we keep the flowers, the coconuts, all the things ready. The rice mixed with kumkum, you know, red powder. Mm-hmm. We call it like that. All things ready. Then, where possible, a purohit will come, a priest.
Oh.
There are more in India, we have got priests. They are more conversant with all these rituals, you know, what to do, I mean, all these names. But here we can't afford. So we have got books, we have got tapes, I mean, we have got our own way of doing it.
So there are a lot of, like he is saying, the stotram, the names and things like that. Some of them we don't know the meanings of. There is a meaning for each one of them. So whatever they ask us, there is a particular meaning behind it. So we used to follow the priest. So he reads and he tells us what to do. So we used to do it. Here what we do, since we don't have the priest, we either we tape it or we bring the books. So we read all the praising part of it. So other part of the ritual and all, since we don't know, either I just leave it, I didn't want to do, because which I don't know what it is. So I do the praising part of it, you know. So when last time when we went, most of the people, when they go home, they tape the whole thing and bring it here, and then that's how they perform their pujas.
Oh, I see. I was wondering about that, because there's no real center of worship or temple here for the Hinduists in Jacksonville. Mm. Yeah.
Yes, it is one thing a lot of people are thinking about it, so I don't know when it's going to, you know, happen. But
yeah. I was interested in how they do that without having the priests here in Jacksonville.
No, we can do, see, that's the only way. See, we've got books here.
Yeah.
And most of us have the whole thing in their own language. For instance, Prema and Purnima, I got in Tamil language. We got in Telugu language. Other people have in their own languages. All the rituals are there. So it is, fortunately, the books are so elaborative. They describe in detail, I mean, how to start and then at every stage what to do, like that. So we, naturally, having done a number of years, we know the sequence pretty well. So
and now they're all coming in English.
Oh,
So for sometimes we all meet, get together and all when the puja is going on. So since we all speak different languages, so we don't want to sit there without understanding what they're doing and all. So now they're printing it in English. So we all, whoever attends the thing, we can all understand and know what is going on. So now everybody, I've tried to get some other books which are in English version of them, so that, you know, when I have people, they know what I'm doing.
I see.
I'll give you a print when I get it.
Okay, I'd like to see it, yeah. I understand that a lot of the Hinduist functions, even in India, are celebrated in the home, though. A lot of the religious ceremonies, is that a misconception of mine?
Can you please...
Okay, a lot of the religious ceremonies are celebrated in the home and not necessarily all the time in the temple.
It depends upon what kind of... Most of the festivals and things like that. So we have ceremonies for everything. When the baby was born, like you all do that...
Baptism
and other things. So the 10th day, naming ceremony we have at the time. Those days, the priest used to come, they do something, then they name the baby, and then there is some sort of particular thing you have to go through and all.
Okay.
And those are the things normally we do, you know, them at home. And then when a person dies, and then annually, monthly, and they do some kind of ceremonies for the person, for to satisfy the soul of the person who died, you know. So those things also they perform at home, and they do it first year, I think, at the end of the first year in grand scale. That suppose somebody dies and then first year, all the relatives and friends, they get together and they do some kind of big thing. When actually Prema's father-in-law died here a few years ago, and they have done everything here like what they do in India. They did the 10th day, a lot of people were there, and they got a priest actually from New York to perform the whole thing here.
See,
most of these functions we do in the house, like this, and then there's one day for this lady, deity of knowledge, and one special puja for Ganesh. Like that we do in our own houses. But temples are there, we go in the evenings, or at least once in a week, as you go to the church. So people choose their own convenient day, they go on Fridays, they go on Saturdays, they go in the morning, they go in the evening. The priest will be there right from morning 6 to evening thin. They are also the same 100 names, you know, as I told you. 1,000 names, they will do this archana, we call the prayer. Okay. They will do like that.
Yeah, the temples are open to all public.
Anybody can go and anybody
There's
can
no
go.
Restrictions, you know, so they can go.
See, earlier it was some years back, but now the temples are thrown open to all. Anybody can go now, anybody can worship. Whoever believes in...
It's very conservative and very authentic, like, you know, orthodox people long time ago. Now the things have changed, and people's attitude and everything is changing now.
There's a lot
it's open, and then they welcome everybody and anybody.
I see. Yeah, and even with the different particular types of Hinduism, like the Vishnavites and the Shivites, there.
That's right. The low caste, high caste, all
so
those things.
The low caste people are not permitted earlier. So after Gandhi era, there's a legislation, act enactment. You cannot stop anybody. If you stop that, he is imprisoned and then jailed. Even otherwise, also some social changes come now. People have come nearer now. We understand better. And especially in my place, Andhra, there's a temple called Balaji Temple. I don't know whether you've heard, but that's the biggest in India. And their income is about, 100 crores. That is
Balaji Temple.
Balaji, the Venkatesa Temple. The income is about 100 crores and 10 million rupees per annum. Very big temple. And people come in thousands every day from far and wide throughout India. And there, you know, they worship, they pray, and they put some offerings to the thing. And that temple again takes care of the spread of Hinduism and then Hindu spirit and wherever like that. Hindu scripts like that.
Okay, well, we've got a bit of a description there of this celebration, and I wonder if you could tell me about the slides a little bit. We've got a shot here of the altar. What kind of things would I see in the altar? What kind of things are in there? It's kind of hard to see here in the low light.
Well, this is the decorative part, I think. I can see. You mean you want me to describe the whole thing?
Right. I'm wondering what kind of things would be put in, built into the altar. If you could tell me what.
Well, I put normally we use banana plants, small plants. That is also the holy kind of thing, like coconut, banana also for us, you know. We use banana leaves for all our auspicious or holy, you know, ceremonies and all, you know. So those are, I think that I have banana leaves there. A lot of flowers. We use lots and lots of nice flowers.
Garbage.
And then fruits. Garbage. And you can see nice, I did a little bit more decoration with all the artificial flowers and that, so that it looks nice, you know. Mm-hmm. And then we have, we put a lot of other gods' pictures also all around it. And there are some, you can see fruits. And then, and more, mainly you see lots of fruits there.
Okay.
And then the red powder. And we put rangoli also, nice, which you know, you have seen the rangoli, what Preman, Purnima, they all showed you. Those things.
Oh.
We put that one also in front of the god.
Okay. This is also called the kolam.
Kolam, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah, I guess in their language it's kolam, and yours is
rangoli. I'm sorry. Kolam, yes.
That's a must for every function.
Yeah, the Tamil Nadu they call it kolam, so we say rangoli. Mugu and all. There's different names, you know, but we all have different languages.
But you still see that throughout all of India, right? The rangoli.
Rangoli is put even every day in front of the main entrance.
Every morning, early morning, people come and then they wash the front of the one part of the house and they put this rangoli and all the things so that they believe in early morning and late evenings, and then the guards who pass by, they just look at the houses which are decorated nicely and they enter.
Oh.
And they like that, how they bless the house which all the prosper and wealth. And so the people in India, they believe them. So they want to, that's why they clean the house, they do all the cleaning and everything morning and evening too. Both times of the day they do it, outside and inside the house. So if you go to some of the houses in some part of India, they look really nice and pretty because they really do the, all those things.
Huh.
Keep it. But they don't like want the gods.
Christmas tree or suppose in Halloween you put to scare off people. Like that we put this rangoli.
Yes,
just to show that things go, I mean, well, and then this shows the...
So those are the things I put. Then I put nice silk cloth around it. That's also we put to for the decorative kind of thing. I used it for a decorative piece in a separate one, silk material after that. I think mainly those are the things.
Okay. Is that about the same way that it would look in India?
Yes.
Okay.
That's right.
But in India, we have ready-made altars.
Yeah.
Oh.
Even decorated with all things people who can afford. Just we put again, we put this banana tender plants.
Mostly everything is right here except
the
those. We call them mantapam.
We put
those
mostly mango leaves. And then banana leaves.
Mango leaves, we put them sometimes on the door. I want to know the question.
Oh, okay. You want to know the question? I think we covered the thing on the kolam pretty well.
Kolam.
Yeah.
Okay. Could you tell me, in this photograph, let's see, is this of Vishnu, or who is that one?
That is a Lakshmi.
That's Lakshmi herself.
Yes.
Okay.
The face, you see that the silver face with all the jewelry, you know, that is a Lakshmi.
Okay.
So that's one we use for this particular puja. So.
Okay. And her representation is kind of decorated with flowers there?
Yes. Lots of flowers. You can see the jewelry. If we have money, we put money over there. Whatever she likes, it's all going, you know, there.
Okay.
Nice clothes, the silk ones. That's why I put silk material underneath there.
Oh, I see.
So Lakshmi likes all those things, like what she is right there.
Okay. Because she's in charge of wealth and prosperity.
Oh, that's right. If we give her more, so we believe most of the people, so, you know, she'll also bless the people the same thing.
Okay. And let's see. And this one, can you tell me about this side? What is that?
That is a kolam. We're talking about kolam?
Oh, that's another kolam?
That's the kolam. So I put it with, normally Prema did it with that liquid kind of thing, right? So this is with all the powders which we have, the red kind of thing, we call it kumkum. And the turmeric, the yellow one, and the white powder. So we make it like a star-shaped kind of thing. So I fill the gapping with the different kind of powder. So I make it like, that is very typical of, you know, this. All the pujas, we put it in front of the, or we put it in the middle of the plate or something. It's where we put the Lakshmi or goddess over there.
Okay. Then I think I have a close-up of the powders on here. Maybe
that's the only thing I think.
Yeah, I don't think I could get quite that close on that.
Mm. he's saying yeah.
Okay, how about this one? We have the one with the banana and some of the other things there in that slide.
Oh, those are the fruits. And you can see the grapes there. I think that's, yeah, you see the grapes. And there's bananas over there. And there's some, you know the candles holders? Like you put candles, like we call the light holders. All the light, we put all different lights.
Oh, uh-huh.
So we call deepas. You know, that's a deepa kind of thing. And this is the big candle or deepa.
Oh,
which, what do you call it?
Candlestick?
No, the candlestick is like,
okay.
This is the one, what you see here is like this one.
Okay.
So yeah, they're all available in India, you know, big ones, you know, so you can get it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the one I had it with. You can light in like six different kind of corners on the inner top of the deepa there. So you put six lights there. You light them up. So that is supposed to be there for a few hours. Some people leave it whole day, that particular day.
Uh-huh. Is there some symbolism behind that particular?
That is a symbol of prosperity, symbol of good things. No function goes without that light.
Oh, okay.
Both is, see, it's invariable. I mean, it's even daily puja, you know, the word of worship, no. Even small, it can't be that big. Even in small, it can be even this small.
Okay.
There are smallest and biggest people who can afford, who can do, going for bigger things. But symbolically, there should be the light. Without this light, normally we don't do. What's happening, you can make even from earth, you know, mud, small pit-like things, poor people. Put a wick, cotton wick, light it and then do.
Okay. I need to flip my tape over here. I want to start the tape again here.
So, yeah, when the person dies, you know, usually, you know, you don't see any, you know, this light or anything in that person's house. That means
okay.
The light of that house is gone.
Okay.
They're not supposed to put the light for 10 days. And also, the person dies, so we believe in that, you know, soul of that particular person and wander around the particular area, whatever it is, 10 days. And then there's 10 days they leave the light in the house in a particular, but the 10th day is supposed to be
goes out.
Yeah, because the 10th day,
his soul is gone.
It's gone back to the God or wherever it's supposed to go, it's just gone. So
okay.
The 10th day, it just goes out.
Yeah. Okay. We all want to go there, so we believe everybody goes. Well, it's preferable.
So the light symbolizes life?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
we're back and running again here.
Okay.
So we were talking about the symbolism behind light, symbolizing life. Okay.
Yes.
And that's something that would show up.
We were talking about this particular big light.
Is there any reason why it's six flames? Does that have any special significance or anything?
I don't think so. That they just, because it's mostly decorative kind of thing, they put it. I don't,
okay.
As far as I know,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there is, because I
six lights?
Six lights. Why they put six lights?
Not necessary.
One or
two can
be. Yeah, one can, or two, or three.
Okay.
Depends upon how the particular deepa stand is made. You know.
Okay.
If they have three, we put three. If they have, you know, I'll show you if you want to see something.
Okay.
Is one. Minimum is one light.
Mm.
But depending on individual taste, you can put putting candles, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, as you can see, there's one here, particularly the single one there, small one. And you can see the big one here, see this one, single one there.
Okay.
All single ones.
All right, let's see what else we have. The powders here, were you describing these before? Is that...
Yes.
Okay.
This is the ones, even the yellow turmeric powder, and this is the red one, we call that kumkum. That's the one we normally use it to put it in. We're supposed to put that one over there. And the married woman is supposed to take the, you know, when a married person in the evening, we call few ladies after the puja is over. So we're supposed to give them the kumkum, which is a red one, which they put it right here. And then we also give them the yellow powder, which they put it there, or thali, which is their wedding symbol.
Mm-hmm.
All women, we all have that thing. So they put it over that, you know. So.
Okay.
The same thing I used it for, to put kolam. And also we worship God also. Instead of sometimes when you priest was, you know, when the priest was reading all the praising thing, and what we're supposed to do, either we put a flower, or we put this red kumkum, or we put the turmeric powder. So we worship, we use three different kind of things to, you know, to do the puja.
Okay. All right, and then we have the tray with the fruits there. What's all on that one?
That is we call it darshan. And after the priest, when the priest perform the puja and everything, normally we give something to the priest or to the ladies, like I'm telling you, like you give a sari, a cloth material, and some fruits. You can see I put some fruits over there in the sari. And since the Lakshmi is the, you know, the goddess, herself is a lady and who is married, who is the main married kind of, you know, thing. So since I can't give it to everybody or something, I just put it close to her itself, you know, so that goes to her. So that is one, it's a sari piece there. And there's some bangles also, supposed to be holy thing for women, you know, we're supposed to wear bangles. So this is the bracelets. And then this is the yellow small stick, which is the turmeric powder, you know, comes from that. So that one piece of it, I had some pieces over there. Normally India also, they use a lot of that one. And there's some fruits and flowers.
Okay. All right. Who gets those by the end of the celebration? Or does it just return back to...
Sometimes we call the priest wife. If it is a goddess puja, both we make priest and his wife to stand, and then we give it to them, and then we put... namaskaram? We just bend over and then, you know, do the namaskaram.
Prostrate and then do this.
So they're supposed to bless us, And we give it to them, or sometimes some few ladies, you know, in the evening, so we give it to them.
Okay. Let's see, what else do we have on here? Okay, we've got this one with some more of the powders, right?
Yes,
and
the same thing.
It has the flowers in there?
Yes.
What kind of flower is that? Is that the lotus or no?
This is the... Mums.
There's
some roses also.
Okay. Are there any particular types of flowers that you'd use especially for the celebration?
Not roses. Roses, if they're available, we can, you know, get it. So some of the poor families, it depends on what you can afford. Oh. As long as there's some nice blooming flowers are there, so we use them to do the puja.
I see.
See, we've got one leaf, one flower in India. See, that it's not available here. That is preferred for this Lakshmi puja.
Yeah.
Yellow thing with a small thorn like that thing. It comes from a shrub. That particular is yellow, like it smells well, you know. It's also put on the hair plate.
Yeah.
So that particular day, that is preferred in India. But when it's not available, it's not necessary. It's not a must.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever you can afford and it's available there, we use them. They're very flexible.
You kind of have to be, right?
you can't have everything, so...
Yeah. Things are available, we prefer it. Not available, I tell you, suppose no flour is available, we still put some rice with some kumkum and say, oh God, take this as my humble flour or humble offering.
Okay.
See, they also in India, they use the particular things, like particular flower, particular things, go according to the season wise, because they can get something which grows in some other season, they can get it. So, since they're already available there in that particular time of the, during the time of the, you know, year or something, so they just probably pick those things and use it. That's my explanation.
That sounds as good as any of that.
Yeah.
Okay, I know, it's just another shot of the same thing now.
So we use flowers to even... For women also, we put them in on the hair to decorate, to kind of thing. Oh. Lot of, if you go to India, you see a lot of girls and women putting a lot of flowers from here to there. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, decorate to kind of, you know.
I think Purnima showed me a picture of someone with the wedding flowers that was going like the whole way from the top down to...
I think I have a picture of my daughters, you know, that they made the whole thing for her, you know, so...
Are there any special patterns in the kolam, or the rangoon, I guess is what your word for it?
Yeah.
Are there any special patterns that would show up just for the celebration?
Not really. Whatever you know, and whatever it is, you know.
Okay.
Most of them, all of them are same and they're good. So whatever we know depends upon how much you know. So my mother used to do all this. She used to know lots and lots, and she was very artistic, and she used to do all this thing. When it comes to me, I don't know more than three.
Oh.
So I use the same thing and again and again. So it depends how much you know about, you know those things.
I suppose growing up that your mother had an altar about like the one that you saw?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And she used to celebrate. That's how I picked it up, because I used to watch her doing all these things. Both my mom and dad, they used to celebrate most of all the festivals. So we know what the basic things they do. That's how I started when I came to this country. I didn't have too many things, but I didn't want to leave it. And then especially when I know, sometimes I didn't know when those things fall, in which year and also, unless you have a calendar. To the days I didn't have it, I didn't do it. When I came to know about it, with the calendar, that's a particular time I started doing this thing, whatever it is available here. And then I know basically what they do, since I was not used to, you know, sorry, it's not coming in. I didn't go into the details of it because I didn't know a lot of things. And when I made my first trip, at the time I got some tapes and books and other things like that. So I used to, you know, read them and follow it. That's how I started picking up things. Now I know pretty much I can do it. If I can read a book, you know, the basic things, I know what to do. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. Are the younger men...
This Kolam affair is mostly prominent now, January 13th, you know. It's a very important festival in Andhra.
Oh.
When the sun crosses the equinox, we call it Sankranti. So, there's one festival in the Telugu calendar which comes on English date on January 14th. All other festivals have their own dates, you know, depending on Telugu calendar. They won't come, suppose in August. Dashmi Puja comes in August, at times in September end, or at times in August end, like that. But this Sankranti comes on a particular January 13th, 14th. When the sun crosses the equinox. That time, you know, it's a harvest time for us. People have plenty of these columns. It's a big competition. Actually, you can see there are volumes and volumes. You can see, walk around the streets in the morning about 6 o'clock. You can see the vast variety of columns. They spend a lot on decorations, each competing with the other's neighbors. Oh. Or,
I think we've described most of the main things on here. Prema was also telling me that this one would never be touched or anything like that, or that you wouldn't disturb this one on the altar because it's considered sacred.
Yes, yeah. Until it's all over, then either you take them off, even after putting in that particular, this next day or third day. You do not take those things off in between, you know, first and the third day, the second day. So, I don't know why, but that's what I was told.
Okay. I noticed also for this one that you invited a lot of your friends to come in and celebrate it with you.
Yes.
That's typically the way it would be done.
Right? Yes. Back home also, we invite a lot of people. If you have family, because we used to have big families, so we had enough people then. But sometimes we call friends also to come in the evening, just to take some snack or something, and to come and sing some, you know, devotional songs, and it's like a celebration kind of thing for everybody. And they just come and stay 15-20 minutes and then they just leave. But here you can't do it, so since I don't have a family or anything, so I normally call all my friends here to just share and participate in what I'm doing.
I see. Do you go down to your friends' houses too on that day?
Yes, no, because not all of them, even though it is a celebrate in South India. I don't think all in Tamil Nadu and some states they don't do it. I don't think in Karnataka, which is Udaya speaks the language. She is from Bangalore. They call a state called Karnataka. So the state I come from is very important. It's very popular. So we all do it. So I don't. That's what these people told me, that they said they don't do it.
Huh.
So that's the reason I call all of them here. Some of them they celebrate, which I don't do it, so that particular they call me, so I go there.
Kind of trading back and forth there. That's what, it was really interesting to talk to Purnima, because she said she was learning about all sorts of other types of Indian dances from living here in the United States, from running into the people who've come there.
We pick up all these, since I wasn't exposed to all these things when I was in India, except my own state, the language I speak and the going to, because I didn't travel that much and I didn't know too much their customs and what they do in other states. And after coming to this country, and I met so many people from different part of India, so now I know more about them here than I know of India.
Okay. Are there any special types of foods that are reserved mainly for this celebration, or types of foods that you would see it? Like, for example, in the U.S. at Christmas time, you see the Christmas turkey coming out. I was wondering if there was like something along that line here.
Yeah, then basically in all the festivals, we have to have someone deserve the sweet. And we make, rice is our main thing, so we make rice every time, so rice should be there. And what is that?
This we make that wheat cream, you know, make the sweet out of wheat cream.
Oh.
Yes, we cream of wheat. We use a lot of cream of wheat to make our sweets for that particular thing. And then you saw this here, some idlis, the steamed rice cakes.
Okay.
That's why I put it, that's the Kali idlis. And then there are some fried stuff there, like hush puppies and all.
Okay.
So we make that one, like Kali vada. And then some liquidies at sambar. You must have tasted all those things. Some vegetables, sambar. These are the basic kinds of foods we know we use normally.
Uh-huh.
So we make them. If we make like 3 items normal day, so we make them 6 of that particular day.
Uh-huh.
So it looks like you know a big kind of thing.
Yeah.
Some of the complicated ones, people. If you have somebody to help and make, they make a lot of them.
Mm.
So whatever we can afford, we can make. So we use that. These are the basic kind of foods we use.
Okay. What are the names for these different types of foods, by the way?
Okay, this is called idli. The rice cakes, the round ones. The
how's that spelled, by the way?
I-D-L-I.
I-D-L-I? Okay.
And vadai, this is vadai. V-A-D-I.
Okay. And that's the deep fat fried ones, yes. Like the hush puppies?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
And this is the rice, you know, that, what do you call it? This is, what rice I made? We can make different types of rices.
Oh.
We eat, all of us know lots of different varieties of rice. So we may put lots of vegetables and we make fried rice, you know, something like that. And the other one is sambar, or that's like soup with all the vegetables and lentils and all. We may put little spices in it. S-A-M-B-A-R, sambar.
Okay, alright.
And that's about it.
Okay.
And we make some snacks, like, you know, mulku and just like noodles.
Mm-hmm.
And some small hot cakes, which are samosa or something like that.
Hmm.
It's just different, you know, where I come from, we used to be differently. Then people from north, they eat differently. They use a lot of wheat.
Hmm.
So people from south use a lot of rice. So.
Hmm. I see. I was wondering also, are there any special activities for the kids during these festivals like this? Are there any special games that you'd play for them? Or
no, not really. The children normally they get dressed very nicely, and then because all these festivals, we buy them nice new clothes and everything, and then we get them dressed nicely, and they go to people's house. The children's part in this thing is they go to, we send them to all the people's houses, friends' houses, to invite them to come to our house in the evening. So they take this kumkum, the red flower. So when you go and invite the people to come to your house for particular, you know, a ceremony or function in your house, we have for the children or us, we take the red kumkum powder, so we give it to them. When you're inviting, please do come to our house. So the ladies put it on, you know, this. This is a tradition, I think. So that means that you're personally going and just inviting them, you know. So that's
how
it is.
Even in normal course, if a lady comes here and just at the time of leaving, our way of parting is we'll say bye bye, we offer this kumkum.
Oh.
Just put like that and go.
It's only for marriage. Suppose if some elderly woman who is married comes to my house, and then in the end, when she was leaving, even still today, some people, all my friends' parents, they visit them and go now. That is the old custom. So when they're leaving, we normally give them the red kumkum thing in a silver kind of small box, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we just give it to them. So she put it on there. So that is, I don't know why, it's just
it's a
tradition and custom, I think.
See,
we've been following.
It represents something prosperous, something good, something sublime like this. So whenever we say goodbye or, you know, in Nazi days, Hail Hitler, you know, wherever they said Hitler should be named.
Right.
Like that, yeah, we say, every time we invoke the good name, the sanctity, you see, nothing but we
and just showing and telling her how happy you are to see her with her husband still, and then she, you know, the lady is happy to, you know, when putting all the see, once the husband is gone, the woman is not supposed to put that thing, and they don't really dress up nicely, they only plain clothes and things like that. So we just showing the way of showing we're so happy to still see her like that, you know, that's thing, I think, that what it is, you know.
Uh-huh.
Something happy, you know.
Something happy.
Mangalyam, that is the we call it nothing non-sorrowful. Everything that is pleasant, everything that is happy. The kumkum indicates red color. Everything.
Mutaidva. We say even the woman who dies when husband is still alive, they believe in that she goes to heaven, because husband See, we're supposed to pray to God. If the woman is supposed to pray to God through the husband, you know the old things which we say, like that. So when the woman dies, when the husband is still alive and she's still married with all the, you know, wedding symbol and everything, that means she is, she got it, you know, made. She can go to heaven directly, you know, or something like that.
Huh.
I don't think it works the other way. If the woman dies, you know, then it doesn't matter what happens, huh. You know.
As usual, the men get all the breaks, right?
In my case, nobody can tell me that I'm a man without wife. Whereas a woman without husband in India, you can easily tell, because she doesn't have this kumkum. They don't have these bracelets. Now it's better. In the old days, it was horrible. So now,
if you're talking about 20, 25 years ago, they used to shave the hair also for the women.
Wow.
And she covers it with a, you know, sari like that. It's long time ago. When I was young, growing up, I seen cases like that. But not now. Even the husband dies. I see even the elderly, the generation, they put kumkum on, they dress up nicely and everything they're doing. They're not even taking their kumkum.
Remarriages.
They remarried, no? The divorce is getting common. No, the things have changed quite a bit.
It's not the change.
I don't know. I think it's a good.
Yeah.
What the women say. I know. I believe. You know, I'm happy it's changing that way.
Yeah. A lot more freedoms for the women.
Oh, yes, sure.
More respect and then...
Of course, it's about time they should get out and do something.
The cry is now, I think our Prime Minister also said the other day, we have to exploit the potential in women now. 50% of the manpower we are wasting all this time.
I felt very happy when I went home last time, the changes, you know, it was made in India, the things, and the girls and going to colleges, they're very forward, they're very open kind of people's attitude also, the kind of change now, they can take any change, sudden change or anything. And it is good, and I'm very happy. I think that's the way it should be. Just for their own, you know, best.
I suppose the Indian community here in Jacksonville has kind of embraced a lot of the changes, too.
Yes. A lot of us, you know, we all have different kind of opinions, you know, all of us. So some of us, you know, we like the changes. Some of them, they think it shouldn't be, even though they are here and getting all the benefits. So it's just how you feel about it. You know, I think for most of us feel that it's really good, you know, that's the way it should be.
I have just a few more questions about the Lakshmi Festival. Is that considered one of the real major celebrations throughout the year, or is that of kind of...
Yeah, in the state where I come from, yes, it is. It is a major one, yes.
Okay.
I celebrate that particular one once a year grandly here in Jacksonville. So that's the way I used to see in my house, this particular thing. They make so many, you know, so much, you know. It's a lot of excitement that festival is coming and things like that. So I used to look forward to for that kind of particular thing, And the Diwali is the next one.
Okay. Does the Lakshmi one help kind of prepare people for Diwali? Or is that...
North India, Diwali and Lakshmi Puja go together.
They celebrate both of them at the same time.
Okay.
See, for them, there's accounting year, especially North India. So they make it a very big function. Lakshmi Puja is clubbed with Diwali.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. And Diwali is a celebration of lightness over darkness.
Festival of lights.
Festival of lights.
Yeah. Well, again, same thing. You drive a darkness and then bring in light.
Okay.
There's a story behind it, you know, if you take like in each state, like I was told when I was young, this is a religious kind of story with the gods and all there. So they call it Lord Krishna. At the time, there used to be a monster or a demon, so you call him Narakar, somebody's name. He's huge and ugly, used to bother people and kill them and all. So Krishna kills that particular one, and Krishna comes down and then he kills them to save the people. So that day, the monster over got killed. That's the time people celebrate the Diwali. So we put on the lights and everything, we celebrate the death of that particular thing.
Awesome.
And then praise Krishna also at the same time. So we worship Krishna, that particular, Krishna was born night, you know. So night, that particular night we pray to Krishna and make all the sweet, whatever he likes. And then morning, early morning, we use a lot of firecrackers, you know. The fireworks we have, like what you have, all these things. So we use them, and it's just a big show. You know, we go to stores, and all the stores in India, they're available, all these things. So for, you know, a family has 3-4 children mainly. So the parents go and then buy for all 4 children different things for them, so they can get up early morning or the previous evening. So we fire all those things outside. You can see all the beautiful
fireworks
and everything. We wear new clothes. Uh-huh. So all Diwali is a break. They think everybody should have new clothes. Okay. And then if a girl gets married in the family, so the parents invite the daughter and the son-in-law to their house, the first Diwali, and they should give them all the presents and things like that. Hmm. So it's just a great celebration.
Yeah. Really. How long will Diwali be celebrated? How long would that last?
It's actually 3 days.
Two, 3 days,
but for first 2 days, everybody get excited, and then second day, they wear off. That day, I don't know, because I never used to remember.
Okay. All right. Do you see much interest in these types of Indian traditions being maintained by, like, your children and the grandchildren of immigrants from India? Or do you think it's kind of...
I wish. But how much they get exposed, depending on how much they get exposed to. I mean, I tell my children, and then we take my children, you know, children all the places wherever they celebrate something. And they do show a lot of interest because they like Diwali and all the thing. But they don't, they still haven't exposed to the fireworks and what we used to do when we were growing up. That was a big thing. We can only do this up to a certain point here, and we can, they know that part of the puja and everything, and then I get them new clothes, they wear new clothes. Yeah. And they know for Diwali they get some new clothes. And then we go to, mainly every year this India Cultural Association, they have the big Diwali celebration, so we all go there. But that particular day, we normally the India club, they have it on the weekend time. The same, the exact day, we do it at home. You know, just simply we cook some good food and let them make wear a nice clothes and everything. That's about it. They know about Diwali. They really never, they haven't seen the light part of it.
Yeah.
How we, you know, some of the houses, just like Christmas, you decorate your house with the bulbs. So the bulbs are not available that time. We couldn't. So we put the small candles, you know,
like this.
Deepa, you see? And with that is made out of the clay and everything. So we put them all around the compound of the house and everything. So it's decorative. So that part, they haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
They haven't gotten exposed to it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I really hope when they grow, they get married and they, you know, continue it a little bit. It just depends upon, you know.
Yeah. Your children are still pretty young.
Yes, and I really want them to be, and I hope I live to see.
Okay, let's see. We were talking a little bit about some of the significance behind the festival as it's tying into the religion, and I suppose one of the big reasons why it's important to you is as a means to maintain the religion of Hinduism here in Jacksonville. Could you give me some other ideas of reasons why you want to keep the traditions maintained?
Why I want to keep the traditions?
Yeah. Why is that important to...
Because that's what I know about my religion. Religion means just like, you know, people like you all, ever since you were small, you were told about in the Christianity and then the church and everything. You go to church and you see your parents doing it and you did it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was in our blood, you know, that I have seen until maybe up to 21 or 22, you know, until I was there in India. I have seen kind of that kind. And there's so much faith and belief in those things. And it naturally, you know, sometimes it just comes out, and then I like to. That's the only reason. I just, those are the good memories I have.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, even if I go back, I don't know, things will change. I may not enjoy that much either because people are different town. I don't have the same people there.
Yeah.
So those are the ones I remember and I know it. So that's the reason I started to keep the tradition here, and because I feel satisfied and that makes me happy.
It gives you some ties back to India in addition
to religion.
That's right,
yes.
Yeah.
You know, we like to keep it, even though we are here. And, you know, we should not, I believe we should not change, you know. We can change. I have no objections or anything to go to church. And even tomorrow my children say they go to church, I'm not going to say anything about it. It's up to them individual kind of thing. But I also like to keep my traditions. That's the only thing I know very well. Even if I want to get into new one. I don't know. I don't want to start anything, you know.
Yeah.
And we take everything. I celebrate. I like to, you know, mainly personally, I like to celebrate everything which is good, you know.
Okay.
And we celebrated Christmas, so we had a big Christmas tree and then everything. So the Thanksgiving day, my children wanted to have, you know, all the things what you all do. So we went and got them all those things for them. So we celebrated that one too. So we kind of every month we get a lot of them.
So you get the best of both worlds that way.
Right.
blends, you know, by course of time, we blend both the local traditions and then our own traditions.
Yeah.
Because in our generation, she's in a transition state. Her children, I mean younger children, they'll be more American. I mean. Mm-hmm. But because it's natural, you see, nobody can stop it. Because they've grown here, they've known more things. So they'll know less and less of Indian tradition and more of American tradition. Mm-hmm. Still, this small blend is better.
Well, whatever they do, even that they, but I would like them to remember the traditions and follow them at least a little bit. Whatever, I'm sure my daughter is now gotten exposed quite a bit about the religion and all what we do. They know about our gods and everything very well. So she knows, you know, and I hope and wish, you know, my son also will know. So far, he is too. So we meet quite often, all of us and all, and we get go into all the functions, all the Indian functions, things like that. And I really, I'm sure they do, and they will. Little bit, I don't expect them to be just like what we are, you know, just a little bit.
Okay. All right, well, thank you very much. This was a really good interview.
It's
so interesting.
It's been a pleasure.